WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you're celebrating, Happy New Year. Happy bring the relatives over and do all that stuff. We had the relatives over last week. My wife's been out of town. We have our German friend who saved my wife's life coming to town this week. So it's obviously a special holiday for us around here. But I want to give a shout out to everybody that has supported us all year long. Gina Schock came by Costas on Thursday. She ate my crab cake. I turned my back. Next thing I know, she's eating my crab cake. She's like, you'll get another one. Gina Schock came over. We had just such a great time. John Allen, my dear friend Joyce Bucci, my artist, my art teacher, gave me an appreciation of art back in 1982. All together with rock and roll bands. If you have kids out there, Deacon Jones is here. He knows about having nieces. Your niece is going to be into the band Milkshake very, very soon. I mean, becoming a serious children's band here now, over 3-4 generations of kids. And Lisa Matthews and Michael Gell, who was wearing his Orioles gear, by the way, over Costas. All of it was brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I had scratch-offs. We had winners. We had this incredible group in for lunch. It cost us. They all got lottery tickets. Everybody was having a great time under the Christmas tree. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, our friends at Goodwill, and Window Nation. I got my Window Nation certified master installer shirt on, windows, siding, doors, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. And 0% financing, which is even a better deal than they gave me back in August when I got my windows in summertime. Never a bad time to get new windows. All right. Luke Jones is here. Forever to be called Deacon Jones, or in this case, Uncle Deacon Jones. happy holidays to you. I know it was it's good to have the family around. Everybody's in one piece, and you've had some issues this year with your family and whatnot. But, man, watching this football on Christmas Eve, I mean, it's making me think of my dad in a bad way. I'm going to have to get all my ghosts to the post, my program out, my ticket stubs, right? Like my Clark Judge conversation, who was at that game and covered that game. And I've had long chats with him about that. And, Christmas Eve, Falcons in. Tickets are cheap. Is Lamar playing?
I think so. And we saw reports over the weekend that reinforced that. And I know Stacey Dale's doing the sideline reporting, I guess it was, for NFL Network, indicated that.
What they're telling her, right?
Literally, sure, right? Sure. And until he's out on the – I mean, at this point in time, it truly is a case of he's got to practice, right? You can't miss 2 weeks and then miss another week of practice and then suddenly you're going to be playing on Saturday. I mean, that's not how it works at this point. That first week, yeah, you can buy the idea of missing a week of practice and still playing. But, you know, you get to a point where you got to see what he looks like physically. I think, you know, when you looked at the reports of it being a sprained PCL and, you know, the David Chows of the world, you know, on Twitter and doctors and sports medicine types kind of interpreting what that means when you hear reports of a sprained PCL, they said that this would be a 2 to 3 week thing, maybe a little bit longer, but right around that. So we'll see. You know, ultimately we'll have a better idea when we're tweeting out the injury report Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and see if he's out there. Now, we'll see if there's wiggle room in terms of if he's practicing fully or is it limited. And then you wonder, okay, how much is he actually doing? But I think all along the expectation was going to be, yeah, he's going to miss the Pittsburgh game. He was very likely to miss the Cleveland game, and that's how it played out. So I did find it interesting that he didn't make the trip to Cleveland after making the trip to Pittsburgh. So, you know, the Ravens put that out there to NFL Network that, you know, they were just being extra careful, didn't want to have any swelling, that his rehab's going well. Again, we'll see. We'll see. All along, I don't think anyone who spoke with any level of medical expertise thought that this was a season-ending injury, but everyone kind of said, yeah, he's going to miss some time. So I think we're at that point now where we'll see if he's out there. I would say this, Atlanta Falcons are not first place or second place in the AFC North, regardless. If Lamar's not right, don't put him out there. I mean, if another week would really do wonders for him, don't put him out there. I mean, it's that simple. They're already in a position, as I said to you in a previous conversation, they're in a position this weekend where a win and a loss by, you know, another wild card contender puts them in. With still 2 weeks to go after that. So it just speaks to, don't do anything dumb here. You know, absolutely make sure he's right physically, because their only chance, and this is where it's going to bring us to Greg Roman and where he is and where he's going, where the organization's going with or without him at this point in time. But their only chance of salvage. I mean, they're 9-5. Again, let's keep reminding ourselves of this. You know, they're still
Themselves by winning football games here, right? Like, they win a lot of football games. Like, it feels like they're on a 5-game losing streak and they're 9-5 and they lost for 5 minutes and Justin Tucker missed kicks and things went wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, the real issue here is, do they have enough talent? The defensive injuries, how Lamar can Lamar be? And then beyond that, even if Lamar's Lamar, they're not beating three of these teams. I'm watching where they are, where older players always are this time of year. By the way, congratulations to Messi. I wear my Argentinian blue today to support them for all the old guys out there. But for, you know, to see Calais Campbell in that circumstance, obviously Marcus Peters, you know, and he's not even old. He's only old by cornerback standards, not old by JPP standards or, you know, where's Josh Bynes? And, you know, all of the older people that they have around the team, including a lot of guys on the offensive line now as well. Mark Andrews looks old, feeling old this time of year. Greg Roman and the offense. And, like, if they're going to win, the defense is going to have to be really good, and they've been fine. 13. I mean, to your point over the last month, let's not beat the defense up. We're worried more about their health. Roquan Smith, I'll give Eric DaCosta 2 thumbs up on that deal to make the defense better. Now, how can the offense be better?
Yeah, and the point I was trying to finish is – this is a non-starter if Lamar comes back a diminished version of himself. I think you need a 100% Lamar Jackson. That's why I said, if you're not getting that this week and you think waiting another week increases the likelihood of him being 100%, or let's at least say like 98%, right? No one's 100% this time of year, kind of to the point you were making, then fine. But assuming Lamar is back and healthy, how does this offense operate moving forward? And this is where I go back to Saturday's game with Greg Roman, and you look at the micro versus the macro, right? The micro on Saturday, and this is coming from the guy who's talked about the passing game needing to be better. I mean, we spent an entire segment talking about that. The micro on Saturday, where they were on Saturday with a backup quarterback and with an opponent that has been one of the worst defenses in the NFL in stopping the run this year, they needed to run the football more. Now, some of the language has been a little too strong. It's not as though they abandoned the run and they only ran 12 times, right? This wasn't Cam Cameron in that infamous Monday night Jacksonville game where, what, the Ravens ran the ball 8 times or whatever it was. But I think you look at how the game played out, and I kind of look at their first full drive of the fourth quarter. It was, you know, keep in mind, Justin Tucker had missed the field goal on the drive that to start the fourth quarter. You know, it started in the third, and, you know, the field goal gets blocked. Cleveland misses, you know, Cade York misses the 38-yarder to keep them in it. So the Ravens take over with just under 11 minutes to go and 3 timeouts. Nestor, that's an eternity in the NFL, right? It's a 13-3 game at that point. Why in the world do you throw 6 straight passes at that point in time? And that's where I just look at this thing with Greg Roman and say, boy, he's great at building a running game. And that's the one thing you can hang your hat on right now with this offense, is their running game, especially the last 2 weeks after it had kind of looked choppy. But Dobbins is back.
Well, Ronnie Stanley is back.
Kevin Zeitler was back on Saturday. And they ran the ball, and they ran the ball extremely well. And as much as guys like me have talked about the fact that, yes, you need to pass better, and that's a macro level issue, right? That's a big picture issue, not just for these final 3 weeks, but more so January and really moving forward when you're talking about what's going to happen with this offense, what's going to happen with Lamar Jackson's long-term contract status. Is there an extension? Is there the franchise tag? Who knows? That's a macro level. But the micro level on Saturday of just seeing them run the ball so well and being just abysmal throwing the football and not leaning harder into the running game that they did. That's where you look at Greg Roman and just say, you know, where's the feel for him with what he has as an offense? Where's the rhythm? You know, where's the just any semblance of really being able to read the room, so to speak. And I get it. He's trying to juggle those two things. And John Harbaugh talked about this after the game. And you know, I know some people took issue with what he said. He's not wrong about the passing game needing to be better. But at the same time, in the moment, as you're trying to win a football game, you know, you need to lean into what's worked. Let's face it. Even though we talk about the fact that from a math standpoint, yeah, the passing game is more valuable because you can make bigger plays and you can move down the field more quickly. Their three biggest plays on Saturday were all runs, right? I mean, it was Dobbins or Gus Edwards breaking off a 20-plus yard run. That's what worked for them. The passing game didn't work at all. I mean, go look at the yards per attempt. It was terrible. So I recognize what he's trying to do, I think. But at the same time, you still need to try to win a football game in the meantime. So it's a mess. I mean, it really is. And I really struggle at this point in time, Nestor, to see a scenario that the status quo can continue moving forward. And I mean, at the end of the season, I don't think you see a move here. I mean, I know some people pointed out, hey, John Harbaugh fired Cam Cameron with three games to go in the regular season. And I suppose, that's a valid comparison to some degree. But, the idea, they still were playing with their backup quarterback the last couple weeks. And I just don't know from a personnel standpoint. It's not as though you have Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith and Jacoby Jones as your top three wide receivers here where you say, oh, yeah, well, let me put James Urban into the offensive coordinator role or George Gotze or whoever. I mean, it's tough in that way. So I think what we're going to see happen, and who knows, maybe as you and I are talking right now, maybe the brass is getting ready to make a change, but I don't know. I don't see how you fix this thing here in the next few weeks. I think you just get Lamar back healthy. You lean into the running game more than they have. And you try to see in the meantime if you can start hitting on some play action and hope you can get Lamar into enough of a rhythm that you can start building some momentum in the way that we saw. Keep in mind, remember how bad that passing game looked in the first half of the Tampa Bay game. But then the second half, they came out running the ball and Lamar was 8 for 8 through 2 touchdown passes. It was a very efficient operation. And they carried that over, not to the same dramatic degree, but the New Orleans game the following week. You know, it was a higher functioning offense overall than what we've seen for the most part since October. You know, can they get into that mode again? You know, I don't know. I think that's their best shot as far as it relates to the rest of this year. Now, big picture, I think more and more I look at this thing and I feel some change is just inevitable at this point in time. And you know, it's a rough, difficult set of variables that you're talking about right now as it pertains to the fact that your franchise quarterback's a pending free agent. And not to say Lamar's going to hit the market. We know he's not going to. But in terms of tag, long-term deal, where Lamar is with this thing, where they are in terms of roster building at wide receiver and this, you know, this passing game and this offense, what that means on the other side of the ball and some of their pending free agents. You mentioned some of the veteran players on this team and some of the pending free agents. You know, you have Marcus Peters going to become a free agent.
Oh, dude, this is going to be a way different team next year. Lamar getting tagged at $50 million or whatever. I mean, it could be dramatically different if he finds himself sideways with the franchise in March, right? Like, if he really wants out of here and this doesn't end well and this ends in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, to your point, like, they would really have to spit up their oatmeal to not make the playoffs. And I'll tell you what, asses might roll around here if at 95% Christmas week, somehow they don't make the playoffs. I don't even know what that would mean, dude. That would mean you'd have to lose to Pittsburgh and Cleveland for sure. But to your point, they get back in this weekend if the Jets lose and, like, I don't know, some other, the Chargers maybe, one of the other teams that loses this week. If they win and they are a much higher percentage to beat Atlanta with Anthony, whatever his name is, at quarterback, Brown, than they would be against beating the Steelers or certainly Cincinnati. I mean, they're going to lose that Cincinnati game. I'm convinced of that. I'll put that up as an L right now. I've watched them play. Unless something happens to Burrow, Ravens can't win that game.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'd go that strong. I mean, division games, you just don't know. I mean, we see weird things happen. We talked about this with Charlie Batch and Ryan Mallett and Ravens Steelers. I mean, you don't
come
know.
Come back and make me eat my words when I'm waking up in Cincinnati at 4 o'clock in the morning after I sit in the press box in Cincinnati, Paul, whatever they're calling it. That is a new name too. That if somehow that Monday morning the Ravens are the champions of the division at this point, and they've beaten the Bengals, I would say a whole lot of issues had to happen between Christmas Eve and January 9th, like that none of us see happening right now, or that there's been any pedigree over the last 8 weeks to believe that this team is capable of that.
Sure. And again, I don't speak in absolutes in the NFL. You just don't. Speaking in absolutes in the NFL, the Chiefs were taken to overtime by the Houston Texans on Sunday. I mean, let's just remember that. But your point, I don't disagree with your big picture point there. I really don't. You look at the scenarios for this week, and I'm looking at this right now as it's fresh. I think it's accurate. You know, it's on Twitter, so it must be true, right?
It's got to be true. Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, my understanding is the Ravens clinch a playoff berth with a win, and they would need a New England loss and a Jets loss, or a win and a New England loss and a Miami loss, or the other scenarios, a win and a Jets loss and a Miami loss. So basically, it means those other three AFC East teams, they need two of them to lose this week. And of course, they need to beat the Falcons, which I think they will. Again, they're going to make the playoffs. As frustrating as Saturday was, I don't think it means suddenly this team's going to losing out. I just don't. They're not that bad. You know, I still think the Ravens are a pretty good team. I just don't know if they're, you know, I'm doubting more and more that they're any better than that. But I know the Falcons are a bad team. I know Pittsburgh is not very good. So if you can't win one of those games, again, you kind of look at this thing and say, okay, well, maybe heads will roll to the point that you made. So,
well, if they don't make the play, if something happens and they're not playing football, because like between you and me, all right, Billy Joel was playing up in New York the other night, right? And he got sick and he can't play. The next gig is January 13th. And I'm like kind of jonesing to see Billy Joel because he got sick and because we're all getting older, right? And I'm like, that's the Friday before playoff weekend. Like, I would have told you at any point the last 8 weeks, like, they're going to be playing football at some point. You know, there's a wacky Monday night game they play in that weekend, right? They play two Saturday, three Sunday, and one Monday. At least they did last year, right? So it's a little wacky how that whole thing works out on the wild card weekend. But that's the wild card weekend. And I'm like, yeah, are they going to make it? Are they not? Whatever. I would say the way they look, the eyeball test says they're not good enough to be a playoff team. And then you watch the rest of the league and you see their record at 9-5 and you see the 10 get you in and you see that we're sitting here. They spit all over themselves in Cleveland the other day. We're not really sure the quarterback's coming back because they lie, right? We don't know, right? And they're going to come down on Christmas Eve. It's not going to be very frenetic as an atmosphere, right? It's going to be chilly. It's going to be Christmas Eve. It's going to be whatever it is. Yeah. And we just think they're going to roll the ball out and beat the Falcons, right? Like literally that is the big hope to get into the playoffs. Because if they happen to lose to the Falcons, they lose this game. All of a sudden it gets slippery for them. I believe that. I don't think you need to have to beat the Steelers. And then certainly the Bengals, we've talked about that, but this is the game here this week where it's just, well, they'll just roll the ball out there and beat the Falcons this week. They certainly didn't look the part the other day. And if they have to play without Peters and without Calais Campbell in stopping a real running back, right? I mean, this team has a running back. Dude, it's a sleepy week. It's sleepy around here. I'm doing best of. We're all pumping up the tree. And you're Deacon Jones and your Uncle Luke. And you're like, they better be careful. This game here is really, really important.
Oh, it's very important. And look, they go out and lose Saturday, then everything we're talking about, you know, sure. I'm not going to disagree with you, but they're facing a rookie quarterback who was 13 of 26 for 97 yards in his NFL, you know, in his first NFL start in New Orleans. Desmond Ridder has some talent. He's not very good. that football team's not very good. Their running game is good. So your point about Calais Campbell is absolutely valid. But that said, this is still a run defense that has played an exceptionally high level. I mean, Cleveland was the first team that ran the ball on them to any meaningful degree. And it's not as though the Browns gashed them. Let's be clear about that. I mean, they gave up 4.3 yards per carry. I mean, that was a very conservative. You know, Browns got the lead, and they knew the Ravens couldn't throw the football. So they kind of sat on it. And then, of course, they missed field goals, so they kept them in the game. But I hear what you're saying. I don't think what happened Saturday in Cleveland is a signal that the Ravens are just falling apart. I think it very clearly exposed Tyler Huntley, which again, if Lamar Jackson is back this week, it mitigates that. You know, you're not talking about that quite as much. You know, again, regardless of what Lamar looks like as he comes back, if he's healthy and upright and playing, then Tyler Huntley's on the sidelines. So you hope that alone makes you better. It should. You know, I'm not exactly going out on a limb saying that, talking about a former NFL MVP coming back to your starting lineup. But again, this is where we kind of look at Greg Roman and come back to that question. And looking at the week-to-week micro with the big picture of what this team needs to be able to do to have any visions of making a meaningful playoff run. And you know, that's where you look at the run game and say, yeah, they're running the football really well. But they have, you know, Pittsburgh was a great example of they run for over 200 yards and they scored 16 points because, you know, they couldn't throw the ball with efficiency and make enough plays in the passing game. So how do you balance that out? You know, you still have to win the football game at the end of the day. Saturday was a reminder of that. You know, they didn't win, but at the same time, you're trying to figure out how to get this offense going and to find a little more balance. So again, Atlanta, not a good team on paper, you know, a team that's really struggled. I mean, they just made a quarterback change from Mariota to Desmond Ridder. The Ravens are playing at home, but to your point, Calais Campbell, whether he's going to be out there or not for this run defense, what the atmosphere is going to be like at the stadium, knowing it, you know, early indications are it's going to be very frigid and cold, and it's Christmas Eve. So let's face it, the Atlanta Falcons are not a marquee team that anyone looked at when the schedule came out and said, oh, I can't wait to go see the Falcons play. You know, this isn't 16 years ago when Michael Vick was their quarterback. So it really is a case of the Ravens are going to have to, they're certainly going to have to bring their own energy. I think that's something that they're not going to say that publicly about a home game, but I think it's certainly a case where they need to come out and start fast. And the last thing you want to do is come out and be sleepy like they were against Carolina, like they were against Denver. And then, you know, those were home games against lesser teams. And we saw those games were still, the outcome hadn't been decided in the fourth quarter. So, you know, if they do that, then it'll be another very close game and you never know what's going to happen then. So I hear everything you're saying. That said, I don't think the Ravens are a bad football team. I've never thought that. It's just a question of just how good they really are. And Saturday was not a great indicator for them being much better than, well, you know, they're pretty good and nothing else. And, you know, they didn't play very well on the road against a division opponent. So, you know, it really is a case of turning the page, hoping Lamar Jackson's back and running the football and playing really good defense. And we'll see how far that can take them, even if I'm skeptical that it's going to take them much farther than, you know, being able to win these next couple games. And that's about it.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke out on the social media places. They still let him tweet. Uncle Elon was throwing me off 2 weeks ago. I'm going to be writing about that during the holidays. I've been writing a lot. My columnists getting ready for the Atlanta Falcons this week and talking about coaching and players and personnel and big picture things as Steve Bisciotti goes to Uncle Larry to try to extend the lease here before Larry Hogan steps down and hands the reins to Wes Moore. So I've got my eyes on all things out there, including the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We'll get back after that into January of next year. Big thanks to all of our newest sponsors around here, including our friends at Drug City in Dundalk. So get over there. Lots of holiday shopping as well as some delicious booze that I'm stocking up here for the holidays this week, as well in the liquor store, as well as over at the fountain there. Had a delicious crab cake at Costas last week with a whole bunch of friends. You'll check out the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, as well as our friends at Faley's. If you're shipping crab cakes, get on it right now. Order it. Get out there. Click, order, deliver, send them to places where they can't get crab cakes. That's pretty much anywhere not here. Readily available for all of our sponsors out there as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Merry Christmas. We are BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.